please. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. As we're looking at 34 here, God just had me look at the verse right before this. So Deuteronomy 33:29. And as we look there, and the Lord just brought this to my attention right this moment here. He says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." That's the blessing of God right there. Amen? That's happy art thou. And that word happy there in the scripture means blessed. Blessed art thou, O Israel. Happy. You're happy because you're blessed. You're blessed because you're God's people, because He saved you out of Egypt. And He's brought you through all those things that just unfathomable to us. The parting of the Red Sea, He brought him through that. Amen. He got into the wilderness and they didn't have water, so He gave them water multiple times. They didn't have bread, so he brought manna from heaven. Like the dew in the morning, He brought manna then. And 6 days a week. And He said, don't take it now too much on the sixth day. Right? Or excuse me, He said, take double on the sixth day, so you have it for the seventh day, right? But if you take more any other day, then it's going to be rotten unto you. And He did that very thing. And He sustained them through the wilderness. And He blessed them after saving them. And praise the Lord for it. It is, obviously, being around here in this church, you know that we stand with Israel. We do, because that's Bible. God stands with Israel. He's called on us to stand with Israel. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are blessed through Israel. Think about that. We are blessed through Israel. It is because of Israel that that mankind received the Word of God through them and wrote it down, right? You understand that holy men of God penned the Scriptures as they, what's it say? It says they wrote down the Scriptures as they were given by God. It was inspired of God through holy men. It was that 1 Peter or 2 Peter talks about that? 1 Peter talks about that. And God gave us the Scriptures through Israel, through Jewish men. And then He gave us Jesus, who was a Jewish man, an Israelite. Amen. So we're blessed through Israel, and we are to continue to bless Israel. Okay, well, wait a minute. But they rejected Christ. Yeah, so did some of us for a time. Yeah, praise God for His patience with me. His patience with you. Some of us, America, can mirror what the Old Testament Israel, and how, look at the book of Judges. One day we're good, and the next day we're not, right? Everything's okay, and we've got everything we need, so we stop calling on the Lord, and we go on to other things, and then He has to bring judgment, and then we come back to Him, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. No wonder that Israel is called the adulterous wife of Jehovah, and one day that she will be restored unto Him. Amen. Now understand this, being very clear on this, the church is not Israel. We are the bride of Christ, not the wife of Jehovah. It's two different things. And God stands with Israel. He's blessed Israel. He stands with the church and He blesses the church, but we're not the same thing. And it is for us to continue standing with Israel. And so, as we get into chapter 34, the Lord just put this scripture on my heart tonight for this purpose. And really, it has to do with current events. As we walk through this, we're going to see some promise, some things given to Israel here that we need to take notice of. Look with me, if you would. Verse 1. This is Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan and all of Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho. and the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. What's that now? Moses was not to go into the promised land. Why? Judgment of God. He destroyed a picture that the Lord was doing with the rock. Remember that? The rock, who is the rock? It's Jesus. Jesus is the rock. We know that from the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. It's told, we're told that. He was the rock that led them through the wilderness. Now, the rock was a picture of Jesus Christ. And the first time Moses hit it with the rod, because Jesus Christ would be crucified. But the second time, he was not supposed to hit it. He was supposed to speak to the rock, right? Why? Because Jesus didn't need to die twice. He only needed to die once. And after his death, when he had been resurrected, if we call unto him, he will save us. Yes? That was the picture that God was painting with Moses and hitting the rock the first time and speaking to the rock the second time. But in his anger, he hit it the second time. Anger messes up a lot of things, doesn't it? I was talking to somebody about that this week. God gives us a toolbox of emotions. And in that toolbox, there's different tools. Praise the Lord for it. You know, I know many of us men in here. Okay, George Mullis, I'll try not to confess your sin too much here. Okay, but how many times do we use a screwdriver or a wrench as a hammer? And it never works out all that well. And we try and we beat it and we bend nails and everything else. All right. But a hammer is needed when it's needed. But we don't clean glass with hammers. We don't hang glass with hammers. And that's a tool in the toolbox that we're not supposed to carry around with us all the time, like anger. Yeah? Jesus Christ turned over some tables in the temple, did he not? He had to take care of sin. He had some righteous indignation for a time, but he didn't walk around holding that hammer all the time. There's been times when I've had to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith, Brother Shank. I've had to fight off false doctrine and contend. But I don't walk around with my gloves up all the time ready. I mean, Dave Wilt, come on, buddy. Okay? Right? I gotta put the hammer down. Okay? I know that sounds funny. Just put the hammer down, put it in the toolbox, okay? Amen. But Moses, we understand, he had this problem and he got angry, and God's punishment was he would not go into the promised land. Now, God was going to let him see it. We just read that, did we not? Where did he take him? He took him up on a mountain, and that mountain's called Nebo here, verse 1, to the top of Pisgah. Pisgah is the peak there. Okay, I want to show you on the map here. I've got a map pulled up for us, and we can see it there. Obviously, we're looking at Israel. It's up and down picture, and it's not as big as the left and the wide one, so I apologize. But I want to show you just a little bit here, okay? To give you an idea, let's get our some boundaries here tonight, okay? I know this map is not as big as it could be, but just to give you an idea here, here's the Dead Sea right here, and here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Jordan River. Okay, everybody with me now? You can see that on the map. Yes? So now I'm going to erase that here. And by the Dead Sea, over against Jericho, if Jericho is here, okay, the Mount Nebo here and that peak of Pisgah is approximately right here, looking across at Jericho. Okay? I've had the privilege to be there. I went up on this mount and I thought, man, yeah, like Moses, right? I'm going to see all the way to the Mediterranean, and I'm going to see to the north and to the south and all this. And I was all excited about it. I got up there, it was all hazy. I mean, I couldn't see but just a few miles, and it was just like cloudy haze, and it was misting. And I was like, praise the Lord, amen. Moving on, came all this way, hallelujah. No, it really is amazing. Israel has certainly been blessed of God. Being in Israel is like being in America. And when you're there and just the flourishing blessings in Israel, and you can use the American dollar and they have everything that you need, you cross that border, that Jordan River, and you go into the modern day country of Jordan, and it's third world country. It completely changes. And so I did that. I got to go up on this mountain, on that peak up there, and I praise the Lord for that. I got to see a lot of things. But in this here, in the first few verses, he tells us what he sees. Now, I understand this. I don't have it all together with maps and things, but I have a rough understanding here. When he says that he showed him Gilead unto Dan. Gilead was the eastern side of the river here, where the two and a half tribes, part of where the two and a half tribes settled. But Gilead, the balm of Gilead, Jeremiah talks about, is roughly up in this section, right up in there. Okay, that's Gilead. And then he talks about unto Dan. And it's not even on the map here. You can't even see it. But it's way, Dan is a city way up here. I can't even draw there because it's off the map. Okay, it's a city up that way. Okay, you can't see that. I'm sorry. On my map, I can see that. It's an arrow. Here we go. Okay, there you go. All right, it's a city up that way. All right, Dan the tribe is over here. Dan the tribe is over there. So whether he's talking about the tribe or whether he's talking about the city, I think he's talking about the city here because he's looking north when he does that. And Naphtali, all right, let me erase those. Naphtali, again, is off the map here, but it's far to the north. It's up this way, up in modern Lebanon, up into to Syria, up in there. That's where Naphtali was focused back in this day. And I was looking at that map today. Ephraim, roughly this area over here. And Manasseh. Manasseh covered all of this right in there. And let's see, he says, unto Judah. Judah's down here. This is a bunch of Judah right there. And he's talking about unto the utmost sea. What is that? That's the Mediterranean Sea. Right? He's talking about all this land in here. And to the south, the plain of the valley of Jericho. Jericho's right here. And so all this plain right in here, it's off the mountains. It's flat ground. I know I look like a science teacher or math teacher, whatever. Okay? And all this plain right in there of the salt sea, of the Dead Sea right in there. And he says, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. Where do we recognize that city, Zoar? Remember when Lot came out of Sodom? He talked about, he mentioned that city there, all right? This is the city surrounding here, the Dead Sea, that salt region, that those plains and all of that. And look at verse 4 now. Look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. God gave them all this land. He gave it all to them. You understand, it says to the... what verse was that again? Unto the sea. The utmost sea is verse 2. Unto the utmost sea. So from all of this area, all the way there to the Mediterranean Sea. All the way. But you know, today... Well, back in the Old Testament times, Joshua didn't run everybody out of the land, did he? He left some to stay in there, and because he didn't completely run everybody out, I mean, I know God did it through him, but they quit after a while. They made alliance with some, and they didn't run everybody out. The Philistines kept this area right in there, didn't they? Yeah. Cities like Ashdod and different things like that. Today, it's known as the Gaza Strip. Gaza. That's what that area is right in there. Okay? Gaza, right there. Actually, it's on the map. You can see that little dotted line right there. Okay? That location belongs to the people, the descendants of Abraham. It belongs to Israel. Do we understand that today, in the day that we live in, that, I was going to say 9/10, but it's more than that. Like 98-99% of the world thinks that Israel needs to keep giving up land and giving it to the Palestinian people. That's what the world thinks. Just recently, they had a vote in the UN, and it was literally like 143-10 that it ought to be two different states in this land, one of Israel and one of Palestinian people. But God said, I've given it to Israel. He said that very specifically. And so when all of this is going on, and you understand, eventually, this is sad for me to think this, I hate to even think this way, but eventually even America will turn on Israel, if it still exists. The Bible says all nations will march on Jerusalem with that Antichrist. Again, if we still exist, I think there's great potential for America to fall apart at the rapture. I do believe that. Why? Because there's a lot of people saved in America. Even though we're going wretched and wicked, there's still a lot of people that are saved. A business and travel, economic things, all of these things are going to come crashing down in America when a lot of people in prominent positions are taken out of the way when the rapture comes. Why do you think the Antichrist is going to come into power? Because he's going to put in order things that are chaotic after the rapture. But I come into this to say this. Please understand, in the modern day of what we're dealing with, and all the world wants to start peace and giving. They already have some of it, and they're starting to want to give away pieces of Israel. God said, I've given it to Israel, not to other people. I've given it to Israel. This is the land, verse number 4. Now understand this, please, and I'm going to do the best I can here with this map. I have another map, but I need to show that one. Let me show this one. Man, that's awfully small. I'm sorry. When I'm trying to find maps, I sometimes don't think about it, that big screen. That's awfully small. I'm going to go back to this map right here. In Genesis chapter 15, God gives the promise to Abraham, and he tells them that it's even greater than some of what we think about. We look at this map and we see modern day Israel. This is modern day Israel here. But yet, when God gave the promise to Abraham, he gave him specifically from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. And I got looking into that a little bit. This week, and I got studying a bit, and some people would think that the river of Egypt, that is awfully small, is it not? I'm sorry, I apologize. But some people think, you're just going to have to trust me on this one, that the river of Egypt is the Nile. But that doesn't sit well with my spirit when I'm studying. Because why would God bring Israel out of the world? It was a picture of the world. He saved them out of the world only to allow them to go back. I don't understand that. And I got studying this, and a lot of Jewish commentators do not believe the river of Egypt to be Nile, but they rather believe to what is called the Brook of Egypt, which is it's specifically called Wadi El Arish. And it is literally a dried brook that was once flowing with water. And it is approximately right here, and it comes down in here, and it bends down around like this and goes down to the Red Sea. That would be the close to the border of Egypt and Israel. So when God gave it to Abraham, he said the river of Egypt, or the river near the border of Egypt there, unto the Euphrates. Where is the Euphrates? Man, the Euphrates is way over here, and it comes up like this and goes along right there up through Syria. That's a long ways that he's going to give to them. I'm a little bit off on that scribble, but it's close. That's a lot of miles in there. Okay, so anyways, it's nearby. God gave them a lot of property. And one day to come in the millennial kingdom, that will be fulfilled when they have all of it. You understand how many Israelites are in the world today, and many will be killed. Some will go... Some that are saved will go in the rapture, and others will get saved during the tribulation time, and then many will be killed, but there'll be a remnant that is saved physically at the end of the tribulation time. And then the millennial kingdom is set up, and for 1,000 years, you think that we won't have more people being born in 1,000 years and all of that through the people that got saved at the end of the tribulation time? There'll be a lot. And the earth will start to get repopulated. There will be a lot of Israelites in those days. Please understand, as we're talking about, I know I'm doing teaching right now, and this is not real strong preaching, but we need to understand as a church that this land belongs to Israel, and we don't need to side with the world, and it doesn't matter if it's 143-10 or if it's whatever, 150-1, we need to stick with Israel. And it makes a difference when we're studying the Bible and we're teaching our children. And it makes a difference when we're in the voting booth. Why? Because if we turn on Israel, we're going to lose that blessing of God. We're going to lose it. And we need to understand that tonight. Now I'm going to continue on this text. And man, we can take that map off there. Look what the rest of the text says now. We got through verse number 4. The Bible says in verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Again, he died because God said it. Notice the rest of the scripture here. It says, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. What's that? Where do we recognize Beth Peor? Wasn't that Balaam? That was the days of Balaam. You know, Balaam, at first they thought he was a good guy, but he wasn't so good in the end. You look at how the New Testament talks about Balaam. He convinced that heathen king to get his people to mix with the Israelites. And of course, that was a curse to Israel there. Look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, and his natural force abated. Nor his natural force abated. You know what that means right there? Moses wasn't ready to die, but God said it was time. The judgment of God on him, you can't go into the promised land. Remember Joshua and Caleb? They were two of the 12 spies that went and spied out the land. And for the next 40 years, because their co-workers, their people said no, they would wander in the wilderness while all their friends were dying off. Remember that? But yet Joshua and Caleb, in an older age, led the next generation into the land. Moses could have continued in and could have seen those blessings. And he could have seen the victories in the promised land. And he could have seen the beautiful promise that God had for him. But he messed up. And even though his eye wasn't dim, nor his natural force abated, he died because God said it was time. Let's just be reminded of that. I know we get scared about our health and we got things going on and sometimes we have serious health issues and all that. God has the time. You don't and I don't. We don't need to fear. I know we do, but we don't need to. God doesn't want us to fear. He says, I've not put that spirit in you. And we get fearful about our end coming. And we get really scared when we get bad news of health and things. God has that timing for you, not me, not you. But God does. God does. Now look what he says here, verse number 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I like thinking about Joshua, how the Bible talks about how God magnified him in the sight of the people. And, can you imagine being Joshua following the man Moses? It's about to say there was never a prophet like Moses. There would never be again. And Joshua had to follow that. He had to try and fill his shoes. And what a man. God just magnified him in the sight of the people. Look at verse 10. Here's where we're going tonight. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. I like Moses. He's my favorite Bible character. Really is. He was a man, and he had enough courage when God said to do something, he did it. Yet he was a meek man. He didn't have to go around flexing his muscles and poking his chest out all the time and crowing like a rooster. He said, God will take care of it. I like Moses, but he wasn't perfect either. He was a sinner. I want you to go with me now, understanding this verse here, there arose not a prophet since. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, please. If you'd go over there. Of course, we know this passage. That's the faith chapter here of Hebrews. I like Hebrews. I've been referencing Hebrews a lot lately, and where God ties the Old Testament and the New Testament together and teaches through the book of Hebrews here, and I just enjoy it so much. But in Hebrews 11, he talks about Moses here. In fact, he deals with Moses with more verses than any other single individual in the book of Hebrews here, chapter 11. Even Abraham, he's got another verse more than Abraham. And most men only have one verse in it, and there's a whole lot of them that are lumped into one verse. And yet Moses here has more than anybody else. Notice what the text says, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. It's amazing here that Moses stands out to God. God wrote it down. God penned it here when he said, there arose not a prophet since in Israel. Now, do you remember Moses? He was raised by the world. Was he not? In Pharaoh's house, in the daughter of Pharaoh's house, he was raised by the world. We're oftentimes, we as parents, we're thinking about, I need to be careful about my children and the influences. Moses had everything. I mean, those people weren't saved, and yet God used him. Praise the Lord for that. When we parent, we ought not to parent in fear. We ought to trust God. Amen. Now, we ought to build fences and protect our children and all those things, but we don't have to live in fear over that, because God can do that. God can save children. Even in our day, He can save children, and He can call them to preach, and He can call them to go to other parts of the world, and He call them to be preachers' wives or whatever the case is, teach Sunday school classes and drive buses, and He can use them, and we can still be godly in 2025. Moses was raised in the world. Remember, he also killed a man. You remember that? He was a murderer. And God still used him. Amazing. I'm amazed at God, that Moses stood out to God. But here it is. I'm going to give a very simplistic message tonight that God just had on my heart here. Why did Moses stand out to God? Why did he stand out to God? I got 3 points for you here. It's because he forsook the world. He was raised in the world, but he forsook the world. Look again in Hebrews 11. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, what's it say? Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said no to the world. You understand, folks, what we're talking about here? Though he was raised in the world, and when he came to his years, when he came to maturity, he said, that's not what I ought to be in. God has made me, I'm a child of the Hebrews, I'm a child of God's people, and God has something for me, and he said no to the world. Though he was brought up, you understand, he was brought up in royalty. He was probably pampered. Yeah, getting everything that we talk about, being fed with a silver spoon. Moses had that. And he had that in the world from people that were unsaved. In modern day, yeah, he would have had the cell phones and all those things as infants and being raised with that. He would have had, turned 16 as soon as he got his license, would have had a brand new, flashy, brand new car. I mean, the hottest hot rod out there, right? And we just look at that and we say, man. Well, can you believe it? You know, but that Moses would have been pampered like that. He would have had the best education. He would have been walking with great military leaders and learning from them. He would have been trained in the ways of the world, and yet he refused it. He refused it. Another verse down in there, verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. He said no to the world. He said no to the world. Brother Marion, 2025, we can still say no to the world. We can still be Christians in a sin-sick world, a filthy world. Understanding the things that we covered today and the filth of this world, we can still say no to it. Don't forget that, mom and dad. Don't forget that teenager. Don't forget that young adult, middle-aged or aged adult in here. We can still say no to the world, and God has called us to do so. He's called us to do so. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There are certain things we are not to be a part of, though they're readily accessible to us. Young people, I was offered marijuana in school. I was offered it. I had a friend in school, and I called him a friend. I wasn't very mature. I should have picked better friends, but I called him a friend. I found out he was growing it behind his house in the woods. He offered it to me. And it's going to be offered to you. Other things are going to be offered to you. Moms and dads in here, the world's saying, oh, it's okay to smoke marijuana these days. All you got to do is go tell your doctor that you're hurting a little bit so you can smoke some marijuana. Why? So we can take our minds and mix it up and come out of our right mind and do silly things. It's no different than be on a bottle all the time. Are we not? Didn't we not read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Bible says in another passage that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. There's a reason why we take care of our bodies, because we're made in the image of God. There's a reason why we don't mark up our bodies and poke holes all the way through it. Amen? Yeah, come on now. I'm not talking about your ladies with your nice earrings and all that, but I am talking about all kinds of holes through our body. And the Bible talks about these things. We don't mark it up. We don't destroy our bodies. We don't smoke it. Well, it makes me feel good. That's nice. But you know what, along this line, and if I'm going to be consistent here, and I know I'm a Baptist preacher about to say this, but we ought to be thinking about some things we're eating too. If we're going to be consistent, instead of destroying our bodies, we ought to protect our bodies. Yeah, because God said, I reside within you. Amen. We ought to think about a thing or two when the doctor writes a prescription for every single thing. We ought to think about it. Let me do my research a minute. Let me see if that's right, if God would have me take that or not. I've been offered some pretty high potency things. Can I just tell you, it doesn't. When you have surgery, you don't always have to have that high potency painkillers. You know why? Because the devil works through that to destroy your life sometimes. Why do you think there's been preachers and people that are supposed to be setting an example have been pulled into the world of drugs and addicted to things? Because they weren't very wise on saying no to certain things that were offered to them. We got to be careful. We got to use wisdom. God said, if you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. It is possible. It is possible, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here to preach against all the things that we take. I mean, you understand who I am and my health. I'm on a lot of medicine. I am. That's just what I am. I got to continue that, right? I praise God for insurance that pays for my medicine, because it's thousands of dollars every month. But that doesn't mean that we understand. We need to be smart, and we need to consider God in these things. Lord, what am I doing in my body? You understand? You can have surgery. And you can say no to some of these major pain pills that potentially could hurt you. I'm not saying that you should say no to it. I'm saying that you should ask God about it. And let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. Listen to me. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just trying to give you an example. I had two big surgeries here in the last year. And with my shoulder surgery, I mean, that was pretty painful. And I was prescribed something. I didn't even think about it. I was prescribed it, and I took it for a day. And I said, you know what? I don't really want to be on this. And the rest of the time, I was on Tylenol. Was it Tylenol and Aleve? Something like that. Something like that. But you know what? God spared me from that. From that big stuff. Because I never want to come to this holy desk right here with not in my right mind where God's preaching. You understand that? I have a hard time coming preaching when I've taken little things like Tylenol and such. Why? Because I want to be in my right mind and understanding what God is saying and what He's doing. I'm just saying we ought to think, sometimes we need to say no. I don't know why God's preaching on medicine and or drugs tonight and all these things, but we ought to say there are some things in this world that we need to be careful about. And it's okay to say no. Moses forsook the world. He was handed a lot of things, and yet he said, I refuse to be called royalty. I don't want that world. God has something else for me. He didn't just say no to God, though. Number two, he followed God's will. He forsook the world, but number two, he followed God's will. Look at verse 25 in Hebrews. Look at this, 11:25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know what that means? He became a slave. That's what that means. Now, I know everybody my age and older right now, you're thinking Charlton Heston right now, okay? And you're thinking about him in the mud pits, right? You know, and the taskmaster comes and all that. And we've let Hollywood put some things in our mind, okay? Praise the Lord, back in the 50s, Hollywood was different. Hallelujah, okay. But the Ten Commandments, okay, I was raised on that. Many of you were. And we have these pictures in our mind. I don't know that that's what happened. They say at the beginning of the movie that they took some liberties in making that, okay? But it does say that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. That means he became a slave. When he said no to being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he became a slave. He chose that affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said no to sin that was pleasurable. Man, wouldn't it be something if we'd had some young people and some young adults and even some aged adults in here that would say no to the pleasures that the devil's dangling and say, I'd rather say no to what my flesh wants and say yes to what God wants. Wouldn't that be something if we had some folks like that today in 2025? Moses stood out to God, and I believe the reason why is because he forsook the world and he followed God's will. He followed God's will. Do you know how hard and difficult that would have been? For 40 years he had been out of Egypt, over here tending his sheep in other parts. And then God shows up in a burning bush. He says, man, I got to see this thing. And the Lord says, oh, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And I got a job for you. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And I'm calling out to you, Moses, and I want you to go back to Egypt. And I'm going to work through you to deliver my people from that bondage. I've heard their cry, and I'm going to deliver you. And he says, me? Me? I stutter. I got a voice problem. And he made excuses. But when he got it right, he went. Do we understand? It wasn't easy what he did, but he still did it. Do you understand that he was a sinner more than what we've even recognized? If you've read your scripture there in Exodus there, you realize when he went back to Egypt, there was an angel with his sword drawn ready to kill him. Did you know that? Moses had failed to circumcise his boys. That was a covenant sign to Israel on the outside that they belonged to him. And Moses had failed to do that, and there was an angel in the way with his sword drawn. He was ready to go. And Zipporah saw it and took action, because Moses wouldn't. Sometimes a woman's got to stand up when a man won't. Shame on us men for not standing. But praise God for some godly ladies that know when to stand. Hallelujah. Thank you to our wives that do so well and help us and remind us. Moses refused the world, but he also followed God's will. And lastly, he fulfilled his calling. He fulfilled his calling. Do you understand Moses? Let's just read the scripture here. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I thank you. I'm looking across our church and I'm looking at the folks that have been saved for decades and decades and have served God in this local assembly for decades and decades, and I praise God for you. I do. I'm thankful for that. And being that example, the young people look up to you. I look up to you and I say, wow, they've done it for all these decades. Praise God for it. If they can do it, I can. That perhaps the Lord would allow me to do it and stick with it. Amen. I have no idea how long some of you have been serving God, but I praise the Lord for your faithfulness. Moses fulfilled his calling. Even though he had opposition. You remember those that stood up against him? You remember those that stood up against him and said, God's going to speak through us too. And God called him out. Remember that? And then he opened up the earth and swallowed him. Remember that opposition? Yeah. Remember his own flesh and blood? Aaron and Miriam said, God's using our little brother. Can he talk through us too? And God called them out, didn't he? Miriam ended up having leprosy for a week, and the people of Israel had to sit still for a week, not following God at that point, waiting on Miriam because of her sin. His own family stood against him. And yet Moses fulfilled his calling. He went all the way. Even though he was supposed to take him into the promised land, and because he struck the rock the second time and God said, you will not go into the promised land, he still didn't quit. There have been a lot of us said, well, I done blew it now. Throw in the towel. Why do I keep going now? God says I can't go to the promised land. I might as well quit. But Moses didn't. Do you notice that? He didn't quit. Even when he messed up, he got right with God. He had to have had a time of confession, and because the Lord wouldn't have used him if there was something problem there. You understand? Our sin separates between us and God. We've got to have time with that. He must have had some time, personal time of dealing with it with the Lord. And God allowed him to continue out his life leading those people. Even though he had messed up. Even though he killed a man. Even though after God called him, he had a problem with his boys. And even after God called him, when he messed up an illustration that God wanted to use for all of time, he fulfilled his calling. Folks, I'm done preaching. I'll close my Bible there. But I wonder if some of us tonight would say, man, could God use me? We're a bunch of sinners. And you know where you come from, and I know where I come from. But God wants to use you. Did you know that God has a will for your life? Every single one of you. If you're unsaved tonight, his will is that you get saved. According to Scripture. And after you get saved, according to Ephesians chapter 1, he has a plan for your life. A purpose. That you were made for a reason. And once you got saved, that you would fulfill your purpose for God. Do you know what that is? First of all, have you refused the world? Secondly, are you following God's will? And thirdly, and praise the Lord for the examples in this room tonight, some of you are fulfilling your call of God. And to the end, you're going to receive a crown, a reward from the Lord because you were faithful to the end. The books of Timothy talk about that. I think it's 2 Timothy. Crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord for it. I wonder tonight, Have you forsook the world? Are you following God's will? And are you going to fulfill his, His calling in your life. Lord, help us tonight, please. Thank you for a church, Lord, that desires you, desires to serve you. Thank you, Lord, that Moses here, a great example. Here's a man that wasn't perfect. Lord, he had a lot of problems, a lot of issues in his life, but yet, Lord, he was even raised in the world. And yet, Lord, he stood as a man before God and said, I'm going to forsake the world. I'm going to say no to that. The devil's trying to tempt me with all these things, but I'm going to say no to that. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm a child of the Lord. I'm a child of the King. Maybe there'd be some young people tonight that would say that. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And He's got a plan for my life. He's got a purpose. And I pray that You'd work in us tonight. Maybe, Lord, You're stirring in some hearts of some young men to a call to preach the gospel. Lord, maybe some young ladies to surrender their lives to whatever You would want. Maybe that's ministry, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just faithfulness serving God in a local church. Lord, maybe there'd be some of us that are middle-aged, Lord, tonight. How many times You've called somebody to step out in faith, even in the middle parts of the life, Lord, after kids have been born and after careers have been established, Lord. Maybe it's age, Lord. I think about how Abraham was called when he was 75 years of age. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us and help us, and may we be willing to answer You tonight. Lord, bless this invitation, please, and help us tonight. The piano's going to play.